You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 1996 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the third class in a series given by Brother Tony Isaacs on the subject, The Spirit in Us. This class is titled, Growing in the Spirit.
Brothers and sisters, the sleepers did not seem to have any interest in changing their name, So I was here at 10 o'clock this morning. Brothers and sisters, the analogy continues between the spiritual and the natural. We are born of God's Spirit as babes in Christ, and having now been born, we are now to grow, as is the natural process of every newborn child. Something really weird would it would be if a child is born and does not grow any further. Especially in those early weeks, it really moves pretty fast. And the reason why the child grows rapidly in the early weeks of its life is because it comes with an appetite. An appetite that allows it to scream its head off. You never believe that little thing could make so much noise. If it does not get its milk. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 then, and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The revised version says, long for the spiritual milk. The NIV says, crave. And bring across the idea that if we're babes without an appetite, we're not going to go very far. There has to be a craving, a longing, a passion for our milk as babes in Christ, without which we will be malnourished. We will not grow properly. We may be even retarded. We cannot grow, brothers and sisters, without the milk of the Word of God. It's an absolute necessity in our spiritual development that infant spirit that is born in us will die if it is not fed. And therefore it is so important, so very important, that we encourage and we ensure that when we have brought a newborn, or at least God has brought a newborn in the world and put in our care, that we feed it properly. We take the necessary time out to make sure that each spiritual child is well fed. Not too long, hopefully, after the birth and the really gulping down of that milk, we will find the spiritual child wanting to change its diet somewhat, to move from milk to food, to meat. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews in chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, the apostle expresses his disappointment. Disappointment in babes who seemingly had not had sufficient milk, or had not digested or not accepted the milk, but for some reason they were deficient. In Hebrews 5 and verse 12 we read, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat or solid food. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The apostle wasn't very pleased that at this point in time, after so long a time, however long that was, this ecclesia, these children, these babes in Christ, were still in their infancy. And he's directly relating their growth to the degree of feeding they do on milk, that they may grow up to have meat. And they did not take their milk very well, it seems. So they needed to be taught once again the first principles. They need to go back to basics, back to the beginning. The good thing about it is they could. That after 20 years in the truth, if we have not quite developed spiritually, we can at least start there. Start drinking some more milk, and a lot more milk, until the appetite changes and we need meat. Don't try it with a natural baby. It won't last 20 years, I'm telling you. It emphasizes then, brothers and sisters, the importance of the Word of God, the source of our nutrition, spiritual nutrition. That spirit infant in us will not grow. It will die, it will suffocate, it will starve. You perhaps don't have it here, you probably see it on television, malnourished children. Some have huge heads, very fine body, and huge tummy, and they look like Martians. They look like something out of this world. I wonder if there's any spiritual Martians around. How nourished are we, brothers and sisters? How nourished do you feel yourself to be? And we feel it, you know. We feel the inadequacy. We feel that we have a need for it. We may not be disciplined enough to take it, but we know when we have that need for it. And if you're feeling yourself, your spirit is really in its infancy, then begin taking milk now. And take it daily. Take it 3 times a day if possible. But please, take the milk. 2 Timothy and chapter 3 brings home forcibly to us the absolute need. And I'm emphasizing this, brothers and sisters, because of its importance. We don't get baptized and we just sit down and expect that we're going to develop in the Lord. We don't ignore our daily readings. We don't ignore our meetings. We don't ignore the opportunities to meet with brothers and sisters and to read and to share. We do not ignore the responsibility to read at home with our families. If we ignore it, brothers and sisters, we're committing spiritual suicide. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. In fact, let's go back from verse 14. As Timothy was one such who was well fed as a babe coming up. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. And that from a child thou hast known of the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We will get that nowhere else. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, fully grown, truly furnished unto all good works. There's nothing else we need. The The Pentecostals tell us that the Spirit leads them in all truth. And the Spirit that they have make them good. That they need that. And the Bible, well, you can probably read the Bible if you want to. But God put the Spirit in our hearts, and we know what's right and wrong, and we live it. Well, I disagree. It is the Holy Spirit that has written this book, the Bible. We just read that. It's written by God through His Spirit. And it is profitable for everything that we possibly need as God's infants. We are completely furnished unto all good works. All in this book, the Bible. The degree to which we will be properly nourished and properly developed as spiritual people is dependent, absolutely, on the degree to which we commit ourselves to the study and the meditation of the Word of God. And this is why God always tells His people, He told Joshua, He told David, He told everybody, meditate in it day and night. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will have good success. But you must meditate in it day and night. We neglect that to our peril. Now, assuming we're well fed on the milk of the Word, then the next step is to take a step, to learn to walk. Just imagine the expression on mother's and father's face to see that newborn baby just get up and stand up in the bed. They probably faint. You will never see that. No newborn baby is going to get up and walk. Unless they're donkeys or chicken or something like that. Brothers and sisters, no newborn babe in Christ is going to be behaving spiritually mature right after their birth. These are people in the world. There's a whole lot of development that will have to take place. And this is going to take a significant amount of time and energy and effort to develop. So then the child will attempt to walk and will fall down. And will get up again and try to walk and fall down. And they'll keep falling down. Let's do what we can to, come on, get up, man, get up. Try again. Let's not say, you stupid kid. In time, the child will be up and will be walking as long as the child is properly nurtured. So let's not be too hard on our brothers and sisters who are finding the challenges of the spiritual life very difficult. Let's be there to help, to encourage, to help lift, lend a hand to lift up when they're falling down and to help them to keep on keeping on. In time, and with the proper nurturing, they will not only be walking in the Spirit, but they will soon be running the race that is set before them. Now, this learning to walk period is pretty frustrating to the spiritual babe. You know, they look on the more mature and, boy, if only I could be like that brother, that sister. I don't think I'd make it. I'm no good. I'm bad. And there's a wrestling going on because the person is slipping, sinning, not happy about it, but feeling that they can't help themselves or that they'll never be good enough for this. Well, stop being hard on yourself. Just as the parents can't be hard on the babe who is trying to walk, don't be hard on yourself. When you fall down, get up, brush it off, and go on again. In time, if you apply yourself properly to the word, you will be as strong as the strongest brother or sister in the meeting. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians and chapter 5. We need to bear this fact in mind. Galatians 5 verse 16. This I say then, Galatians 5 verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. This is telling us, brothers and sisters, that there is a real struggle, a real fight, a real wrestling that goes on in every believer. And the fact that you feel terrible about failing, the fact that it bothers you that you're not good enough, having sinned against your God, then that in itself evidences the fact that the Spirit of God is in you. Because if it were not in you, you wouldn't care. I heard of someone who does not behave in a spiritual way and think it's all right. Well, I think that's a spiritual corpse. As long as that conscience is active, then it evidences that there's a Spirit of God in us. The flesh might seem to be getting the upper hand, but at least there are still traces of the Spirit of God in it. And it's telling us that it's dying. When the flesh is triumphing over the Spirit is weak. It is dying. It's crying out for help. It's time to start making sure you do your Bible reading. It's hungry, starving, it's dying. It's time to make sure you're at your Bible classes. It's time to make sure you're at the breaking of bread on a Sunday morning. It's time to start speaking to and confiding in those brothers and sisters that you can and to ask for help. Because we are there, brothers and sisters, for each other. Ephesians chapter 4. Our brother Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, beseeches us. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, verse 1, Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering. Suffer long. It's something that we have to go through quite patiently, brothers and sisters. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. We're all part of the same body. We are the one body that must grow up. We grow up as individuals, yes, and we grow up collectively, also, as one body. And if the finger hurts, then we should be hurting too. All of us should be hurting and should be helping. We should be caring about every part of the body. Doesn't matter how unimportant it might seem. We must care and respond to its need. So, brothers and sisters, let's help each other. Let's not say, this is my business and not yours. It doesn't help. The individuality does not help. I can't care for you if you will not allow me to care for you. And of course, people who say that are people who normally have things hiding. So if you feel a need to say that, you're perhaps hiding something. And if you're hiding something, then it's not good for you. I know that, you know, from where in our adolescence, we want to prove to the world that we are big, right? We are ourselves, we're independent. Well, in the church, in the ecclesia of God, there's no such thing as an independent person. Together we form the one body, which must now grow and develop. Galatians 5, in essence, tells us that there's a fight for supremacy in our hearts, and the fight is between the flesh and the spirit. If we're going to be successful spiritually, then we must make sure the spirit triumphs. You know, we must consciously recognize that this is what's happening. There's a struggle inside between the spirit and the flesh. And until the spirit becomes very mature and very strong, the flesh is going to be very powerful, have a very powerful influence. And therefore, and it's natural, it's there. The things all around us that's feeding the flesh. And the flesh is enjoying its appetite because the world is providing so much of it. And if we neglect to feed the spirit, then we are in for a losing battle. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4. The Lord knows that we have desperate need for help, encouragement, for building up of the spirit in order to be successful. And so we read in Ephesians 4, verse 11. He, the Lord, gave some apostles, verse 11 of Ephesians 4. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children or toddlers, carried about, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, that which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase or growth of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Profound statement. But essentially it's saying that the Lord has provided what we need to grow up in him. Verse 12. That word perfecting. For the perfecting of the saints in the Greek means complete furnishing. So the Lord has given us all we need, completely furnishing all we need for our growing up. The word edifying in verse 12 means building up, progressively building up. Verse 13, the word perfect, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and a full grown individual. And of course, verse 14 hints that we henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, from babe to childhood, we are going on to full-grown maturity. So the Lord has provided what we need then. God has provided, as a responsible father, provided what we need to become the full-grown man. Now, we want to focus on verse 13 a little bit. Oh, and I should ask someone to tell me when I have 10 minutes again. Before we finish. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a full grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we are growing up headed for the height, the stature of Jesus Christ. That's the idea. It would help us then to focus a little bit on the stature of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I think to some degree we need to, as a community, need to pay a little bit close attention to this subject, stature of Jesus Christ. You know, we say often that, oh, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And what we do is, we take the stature of Jesus very often and bring it right down to our level. Oh, he's not, yes, he didn't sin, but he's not really much better than I am, you know. He was tempted in all points as I am. And it's bringing Christ down. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be growing up to him, to his stature. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And that was a child growing up to age 12. Described as waxing strong in spirit. And same thing with John Baptist. Although he was, as a full-grown man, we are told he waxed strong in spirit as he grew up. But Jesus' growth was phenomenal. I'm sure he didn't look any different from any 12-year-old boy. But his spiritual growth was phenomenal by the age 12. His grasp and understanding of the milk and meat of the word was so powerful that doctors and lawyers, or doctors of the law, could not argue here with him and marveled at his understanding of scriptures at age 12. Brothers and sisters, let us appreciate that Jesus Christ was a giant at age 12, spiritually. Verse 52. His mother kept marveling at him, astonished at his responses to things. At age 52, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. His growth continued, brothers and sisters. And I'm sure that proportionately, his spirituality would have developed even more rapidly, at a more rapid pace, from age 12 to age 30 than it did from age 0 to 12. Just begin to imagine the mind of Christ. Just begin to imagine the man who settled at age 30 to take on the challenges of an ungodly world. His stature was phenomenally high. Brothers and sisters. And we can see it from our own experiences. There are some things which are tempting to some people and are not to others. And so if I leave a $10 bill on this thing, someone will pass and see it there and wonder who left it there and it's gone. Someone else will come and look at it and look around. And you find more of the second in Jamaica than you would here, perhaps. But for some people, some things are tempting. For others, it's not. And we have to be careful when we say, well, Jesus was tempted in all points as I am. There are things that will tempt us that will not tempt Jesus. We're told of Lot that it vexed his righteous soul to see what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yet the people in Sodom and Gomorrah delighted in it. And that was Lot. How would Jesus feel about things? The one who delighted to do his father's will. His love for his father made him such that the things, you know, the mundane things that I think that challenges us would not have challenged Jesus Christ. He was far superior to that in terms of his spiritual growth and maturity. And we are to head for that maturity. Until we all come. Back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 verse 13. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And what does that tell us then, brothers and sisters? What does it tell us of the capacity that is in us? The spiritual capacity that lies inside of us, being born of the Spirit of God. That Spirit which God has implanted in our hearts. What of its capacity? Jesus was born with a natural bias towards righteousness. God was his father. He had God's genes in him. And I'm sure there were stronger genes than Mary. He had a bias for righteousness. And when we are born of God, we too develop a bias for righteousness. And the things in the world we don't like because we have a bias for righteousness. And we're to encourage that bias. And we're to develop that bias. What of the potentiality in us for spiritual development, the propensity for righteousness? It's no longer our spirit. It's God's spirit we have in us now. Why do we limit its possibilities? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians and chapter 7. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, the wonderful promises, brothers and sisters, that we have. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, removing the spirit of the world that we had at our beginning when we came to the truth. Getting rid of everything concerning the flesh and that evil spirit. And now perfecting, completing holiness in the fear of God. That's the art form we're going after now. We're going to learn how to perfect holiness within us. Now, granted, we will never reach the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. The apostle didn't say we get there. He said, till we get there. It's a effort that must, it's something to aim at, something to keep going after while there's breath in the body. We're aiming to do that. We are seeking to, as far as possible, to perfect holiness in us. One of the wisdom that Jesus had at age 12 is what he said to his mother when she said, look, son, you have us worried. We've been looking for you these past 3 days, can't find you. You know, why are you doing this to us? And he politely said, but mother, why do you have to look for me? Don't you know I would have been in my father's house? And that's such an important wisdom, brothers and sisters. Do we know that? Do we recognize that? That we must be in our father's house? That we must seize every opportunity to be there? Make any excuse to get to the father's house? If we do not feel a need to be at every single possible meeting organized by the Ecclesia, then that wisdom is lacking, brothers and sisters. It must be because we cannot get to the meeting. Circumstances beyond our control, and we cannot get there while we're not there. And even when we're not there, our hearts are there. And when we feel that passion, that need to be in our Father's house, with our Father's children, then we know that the Spirit is really developing. It's growing closer to the stature of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, while we grow and develop, we grow with each other. We seek to develop as a unity, as the body of Christ. There are many problems, aren't there, in ecclesial life. Divisiveness, and there is also, ugly things. Things unbecoming of the Spirit. I like to compare our growth and development as if we are climbing a spiritual ladder. And we are going, climbing the ladder, our destination, heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Now, it's not a ladder going to heaven. It's a spiritual ladder, which we climb. And at the top of it is the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're being lifted up as we climb. And there's some brothers and sisters who are just so athletic, going up the ladder pretty fast. And there's some who are medium pace right now. And there are some who are really struggling to go up. And there are some who I can't bother this. And they drop off and die. Let go and fall off and die. Now, what is our attitude in going up? Unfortunately, I have to speak about this because it's a reality, and it's an unfortunate reality in our fellowship, many, many places. There are some who seemingly are pretty strong and are going up very easily, or seemingly very easily, and they look on the ones that are struggling and saying, no, we can't have this. Look, we are not pleased with your performance at all. Now, you either start coming up much faster than you're doing, or we'll have to take actions. And they continue. No, we can't have this. Goodbye. And we kick them off. We get rid of them. Because they're not, it seems, what we want them to be. They're not like us. They're different from us. They shouldn't be with us. Get rid of them. Wouldn't it be more appropriate, brothers and sisters, for us to say, uh-oh, my brother or my sister is having problems. Here, take a hand. Let me pull you up closer. And you make another step. Pull up a little closer. Shouldn't that be the approach? Until we come to the measure of the fullness of Christ? Ephesians 4. I hope you realize from that illustration that the person who kicks off that a person has not the Spirit of Christ. And though that person might think that they're doing very well, they do not have the Spirit of Christ. So we are warned, he that thinks he's standing, take heed, lest he fall. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Verse 17 of Ephesians 4. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. I would like to take this very personal, brothers and sisters, as our exhortation from our brother. Having the understanding darkened, these Gentiles, these who are without God, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or hardening of their heart. And you see that? Their hearts are hardened, so the word could not penetrate and could not lodge in the heart to be a fruit of God. So they are alienated from the life of God. Verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, the flesh, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's do it, brothers and sisters. And if we do, we shall bear the fruit of the Spirit.